America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
This is water. Can you feel this, Helen? Yes, water! Helen, it's water!
Deaf and blind, Helen Keller overcame her world of darkness. Foresight, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Do you want to power up your day? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Can't manage the speed? Time to get off the grid and get into the heart. A groundbreaking meditation CD for people on the move.
And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart.
Welcome to America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. And we had the fortune of experiencing Sanatan Kaur and Ajit Kaur, who was here for the Mother's Day whilst they're on their tour. And we had a ball. I think we must have had about 27 people out. And we drove up in the Who Am I RV and just arrived in style. And just want to tell you what a beautiful concert, just meditative. It was a mantra tour, so you were just seeping into the experience. It wasn't at all about being in any state of illusion. It was about being inside of the soul. So if you happen to be traveling on the East Coast somewhere, look out for Sanatan Kaur's tour as she comes into your town. We are looking at, you know, the power of women today, the energy of a Shakti. And in many cases in the Indian culture, we have so many Shaktis, and there's a story of the 108 goddesses of India. And I want to tell you the story because I think it's very important. Today we're going to have our wonderful friend Sridhar Silberstein and Sarah Ivano on. And they're live now at Shakti Fest in Joshua Tree in California. And why I feel like this energy of the Shakti is so important is that we are moving towards a more divine feminine energy of existence. And the story in India goes like this, that there were 108 goddesses known as Shiv Shaktis. And each one of these goddesses had a particular quality or speciality in which they would use that specific quality to dance on the demons. Any demon that would come, the Shakti that might have had the quality of patience, or another Shakti was like the destroyer of obstacle, or another Shakti was like the bearer of auspicious omens. That quality in that Shakti, they would emerge that quality in the soul and would destroy whatever demon that would come. And there are 108 of them. And what makes it so powerful is that each of us have certain qualities and specialities in which we can dance on the demons of our own negativities and, I guess, just self-doubt and issues that come up. I came across a very beautiful quote, and actually Sister Gita them and Santosh, they left Washington to go to Shaktivas to cover the story, and so we're looking forward to get some information and some live stories and sharings from them. But while really looking at the role of women today, I came across something very powerful. A strong woman versus a woman of strength. Again, a strong woman versus a woman of strength. A strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape, but a woman of strength builds relationship to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything, but a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of her fears. A strong woman won't let anyone get the best of her, but a woman of strength gives the best of her to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future. A woman of strength realizes life's mistakes can also be unexpected blessings and capitalizes on them. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, but a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey, but a woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she'll become strong. Wow, is that powerful or what? I'm sure that you must have felt that. That was really awesome. Well, we are looking forward to getting Sridhar Silberstein and Sarah Ivano online. Today we're going to be joined by them, and they are at Shakti Fest at Joshua Tree, California. Let me tell you a little bit about Sridhar. Sridhar is the founder of Bhakti Fest and has been on his spiritual journey for many years. He has studied Hatha Yoga with the Indian master Swami Satchitananda. He has taught yoga at the revered Integral Yoga Institute. Sridhar has even opened socially conscious businesses such as the Food Chakra, one of the first natural food stores in the U.S., and the Natural Cosmetic Company. He also produced a docudrama called River of Love on the life of Amma and has helped to launch the careers of many world music and kirtan artists, including Krishna Das, Jai Uttal, Bhagavan Das, and more. In 2009, he started Bhakti Fest in Joshua Tree, California, which has now grown to 3 festivals. Can you believe that? Now, I think we're also going to be joined with Sarah Ivano, who is the yoga spokesperson for Weight Watchers. She began teaching in 1995 and is the instructor for the Yoga for Dummies series, the Crunch Yoga series, as well as the collaboration with Russell Simmons' Yoga Live. She had an extended run on Fit TV with All-Star Workouts and on Exercise TV with Yoga on the Edge. Sarah was a regular in VH1's Dr. Drew Celebrity Rehab and has been featured on all the major news channels. She's highlighted in the acclaimed documentary Titans of Yoga and A Woman of Bhakti. Today we want to welcome them to the American Meditating Radio Show. Hey, welcome guys.
Hello, how are you? Namaste.
Namaste. We are fine. I am so missing being at Shakti Fest. You have no idea, everyone.
And we are missing you, sister.
Me too. I mean, I enjoyed Bhakti Fest last year, and I remember when Sister Geeta was just saying, we have to go, and I go, I can't. You guys have to go and cover it. And I just say, next year, I'm not going to miss it. But I want to go right into the conversation and interview because we want to keep raising awareness, Sridhar, on the incredible work that you've been doing in bringing the Eastern values and Eastern consciousness to this country, which I think is so important. And I know in 1969, you really started to make a very important role in bringing spirituality, such as in the Woodstock Festival in 2009. You started Bhakti Fest, and it's now grown to 3 festivals yearly. Tell us a little bit more about what's moving the spirit of Sridhar. Why bring this to America and be so invested in it for such a while?
Well, I've been very much studying Eastern philosophy for over 40-some-odd years with many great spiritual masters such as Swami Muktananda and, of course, Amaji and Swami Satchidananda and many, many others, Swami Kaleshwar. And I feel that I was living in India for many, many centuries beforehand. And I had an innate feeling in 1969 when I was spending time with Michael Lang and Artie Kornfeld. They were the producers of Woodstock. And they had me over one night for dinner, and they asked me, Sridhar, what do you think is missing from Woodstock? And I said, well, you have all the great musical acts, or to be great musical acts, which they all turned out to be incredibly famous. And I said, but you're missing the spiritual element. And they said, well, you take care of that segment. You produce that. And I went back, invited Swami Satchidananda, who was then the leading yoga teacher in America at that particular point. He was also my Hatha yoga teacher. And he said, fine. And we flew him up in a helicopter and brought him on stage. You can actually see this moment in the movie Woodstock, the director's cut. I'm bringing him up on stage, and Richie Havens is there, an incredible moment, 500,000 people, and he walks on stage, and he looks out at the audience, say to him, Swamiji, someday we're going to have all these people chanting the names of God. Mm-hmm. And 40 years later, we started Bhakti Fest in 2009.
Wow. I remember that video. That was very moving for me, too, to see that. That's so powerful. Sarah, let me go to you. You co-wrote an article entitled Mantra, The Power to Shatter a Window or an Illusion. I like that. Why are mantras so powerful? And can you explain a little bit how they can help to shatter our illusions? Because illusions, I use an acronym called ALGI, Sarah, and A is for anger, L is for lust, G is for greed, A is for attachment, and E is for ego. And I call that the Maya. That's the illusion of the consciousness. And the article is saying that mantra can actually shatter that level of consciousness or maybe just illusion that we walk around with. Could you elaborate a little more on that for me?
Well, ALGI sounds like all the fun stuff.
You're naughty.
we all must have a little in us. The article, I love, of all things, that you mentioned that article. So I just am... just 6 days ago, graduated from the first ever academic program in the study of yoga. It's a full master's degree from Loyola Marymount University. So that article actually was co-written with my Sanskrit professor. So I'm glad of all things that you pulled that out. I'm excited to tell you about it. The word mantra, as most of us know, comes from 2 Sanskrit roots. The first one is man, which means mind. That's how we get the word manas, how we get the word mind. And that's basically the, you know, the thinking logical mind. And tra, which can be translated a couple of ways, but sometimes it's translated as an instrument. So very, very often people translate mantra as a mental instrument. But tra might also come from the root try, which means to carry over. So it also can be translated as an instrument which carries one over, obviously from ignorance into seeing things as they truly are. So the mantra, the instrument is I think essentially to help us see past the obvious.
Right. I like that. Sridhar, is that what the Shakti Fest, Bhakti Fest is all about? I know that Shakti Fest started on May 15th to 17th, and then there'll be Bhakti Fest in the West, which will begin on June 25th to June 28th in Wisconsin. What's the difference? What's the difference between Shakti Fest and Bhakti Fest? And is one of the items within the festivals, is it to help us to get over some of these illusions that we're still walking with so comfortably in our lives?
Well, we started Bhakti Fest in 2009, then a few years later we decided to bring more of the divine feminine into focus because I felt so many women and relationships are overcome and overdone by men. Their men's ego is so strong and try to put the women down and keep them on a low plateau because they want to just be the dominant force. That seems to be in most societies. And, you know, there's nothing like worshiping the divine feminine, the divine goddess, because that's where it all began, and that's where it's all going to end with. And without the divine goddess, we have nothing. There's nothing left. We want to bring that out in establishing Shakti Fest. So it's dedicated to the divine feminine. It's a lot of women goddess chanting and teaching yoga and doing workshops. Men, of course, as well. But the emphasis is on empowering the women, bringing them to a place where they're not as fearful. And there's so much love and compassion here. This weekend is just overwhelming with love and compassion. And it comes from that divine force.
It's so true, Sridhar. I remembered about 20-something years ago, Sister Gita was in Mount Abu, India, at the ashram, and she got a blessing from the divine. And the blessing said, you are one of the Shaktis of five, and compared to you and a million in an army, it doesn't even add up. And I remembered that sort of a quote or saying or blessing to her. And I said, how do you feel when you hear that you're one of the Shaktis and compared to an army, it just doesn't stand up? And she always says, I'm reminded that the power is within the soul. And if I keep living from my soul's worth and value, my Shakti will be revealed. And I just remembered how powerful that was because I even see it in her life on a regular basis. And I know that your lineup for Shakti Fest features yoga, meditation, kirtan. And over the last decade, kirtan has become so widespread in America. Can you explain for some of our listeners who might be just growing, because there are a lot of new people coming on to the America Meditating Radio Show who are just getting their feet like wet in the water about meditation, yoga, and spirituality. So we've got a fairly good number of people who are very new. And one of the main reasons why this show means a lot to me is that we're getting out to individuals who have often question marked what we're doing. What are those spiritual people up to? So explain to them a little bit, what is kirtan and how does it help us to connect to the divine or to God or to a higher being?
Well, you know, this is not a religion. This yoga and yoga philosophy and yoga work is not a religion at all. So people have nothing to fear about. They're not joining a cult or they're not devoting their lives or giving their monies to anything. It's really, yoga is a way of life, and it's start off with the physical exercise, hatha yoga and different forms of yoga, and then you find your body feels so wonderful and clear and loose, and you know, you get rid of so many pains and aches and mental stress that you start thinking, what else is there? And then you feel, okay, I'll try this meditation. You start sitting a little bit in the morning, starting off with 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and oh my, it's really nice. I'm starting my day really lovely, and I'm feeling really comfortable in what I have to do. And maybe before you go to sleep, you do the same thing. And then the other aspect is chanting the names of God. And these names happen to be through the Hindu tradition. Again, it's not a religion, chanting the names of God. It's the same kind of chanting that one finds in churches when they go in and listen to the hymns being sang, or in temples and you know, and listening to the rabbis and cantors singing in the temples and in the mosque. It's all the religions are based on chanting and singing.
Right.
So it's just the process that one goes through, and you will find that when you actually just repeat the words, it's like repeating the mantras. It's the same thing. If you repeat a mantra in order to slow the mind down, in order to quiet the mind down. You know, one of my favorite quotes from one of my great teachers, Krishnamurti, up in Ojai, said, you can chant anything. You can chant Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, meat, you know, anything. Yeah. It's what you imbued into that mantra, what you imbued into those words. And basically, they just distill the mind and quiet the mind. other practice is based on going to that same place, quieting the mind, listening to the breath.
Yeah, I just want to sort of jump in and say a little something about that, because to me that's what's so extraordinary about the diversity of the practice of yoga, is that it essentially can speak to any personality type, so whatever you have a propensity towards and whatever learning method is best for you. So the chanting and the kirtan is wonderful for people who tend to like obsess on something, and they're basically repeating something in their mind anyway. Their brains freak it out about whatever it is. And this, the ancient yogis were having this problem too. They were also thinking about different things. And they found that, oh wow, if my mind is going to be repeating something, how about we have it repeat something that will be of value? How about we choose what it is we're going to be repeating? And so that instead of trying to stop who you are, it essentially harnesses, which is one of the meanings of yoga, is to actually, like on horses, to yoke, to harness and to channel your energy. Not to deny who you are, to try to pretend you're something else, but to take who you are and to channel it and steer it to be your best self.
That's beautiful. You know, Prime Minister Modi took a few minutes on the platform of the United Nations in September of 2014. And he basically invited the world to look at an International Yoga Day, which was passed by 177 countries. And this year, 2015, will be the first year where the world will gather together and honor the day for yoga called International Day for Yoga. And I would love for you all to get involved and to work with our Indian embassy, because when a leader begins to take a platform and tells the world, it is essential that you incorporate these quality or this sort of lifestyle if you want to have better thinking, a better quality life, or harmony, I think this really perhaps gives individuals like ourselves and yourself that's been on the path for such a long time a sense of, we've got it, let's keep going now. Come on, they're finally getting it. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I think every day we wake up and the whole day is about ourselves. And I think we get caught up in that. It's all about my show. You get up in the morning, I'm the producer, director, and I'm the star and the writer. And it's all about me throughout the whole day until I go to sleep at night. And the next day, the next movie starts. I mean, we have to find a vehicle to be able to step back and say, okay, let's slow this pace down a little bit. Let's do some breathing, quiet the mind. Because otherwise, you're going to just be chasing the tail in the rabbit's cage. We're all little hamsters.
You know, like that Groundhog Day, remember that movie where he just got up and it was the same day every day?
Right. Yeah, it is. Right. And that's why people are finding, they're saying to themselves and the friends, I got to change my life. I got to find something else that's going to work, that's going to be more beneficial. You know, we have a program here at all our festivals where we invite all the military vets to come for free. Mm-hmm. No charge. They come and they take yoga, and it's so much good for their health and for their well-being and for their mental stress and stuff like that. Nobody's doing anything like this, and nobody's helping the people that have helped us all these years. And we had San Bernardino Rescue guys in here yesterday just for a tour around. They wanted to see what we were doing, and they were just, they've never been to a festival like that. They felt so sweet and so taken care of when they left. People come here, we tell them, leave your stuff in your car and come in here and enjoy the bliss.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sarah, what would you tell a skeptic about yoga and meditation? And I know that it seems like it's becoming more popular, and I know in America we tend to capitalize and begin to market something for the sake of money, you know, but I don't want spirituality or things sacred to ever become sort of a cheapened. It's okay if you incorporate spirituality into products that really help people to be more beautiful from inside out. But what do you tell the skeptics? You know, the skeptics, as they very cautiously, you know, get close to yoga and meditation, and then if they start to see that it's becoming popular, then they start to just get on it like it's a fad, and perhaps we might lose what's really sacred behind meditation or yoga. Just curious, what would you tell somebody who might kind of be in that framing?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because I actually just finished my almost 1,000-page thesis, and it is called Sustaining the Sacred and Salubrious Within the Saleable. Salubrious meaning the healthy. So essentially, I feel there you could make an argument that there's three sort of factions, those who are about the sacred, those who are very into the health aspects and benefits of yoga, and then there are those who are wanting to capitalize it on it. And what's fascinating is the people in each of these three factions are pointing fingers at each other. Those who are obsessed with alignment and health benefits of yoga, you know, they don't want to be hearing about the spiritual stuff, they're not interested. And the people who are making money, their argument is, we're bringing yoga to the people. We're getting more people doing yoga than have ever been done in the history. And then, of course, the people who are interested in sacred tradition are pointing fingers at both, saying, what are you guys doing? I'm trying to do the real yoga. And I believe that trying to control or stop anything is the ship has sailed. And essentially what I wrote in my thesis and what I believe is that instead of being three different factions feeling separate and pointing fingers at each other, the only solution to our practice is our practice itself. And our practice means to harness, to channel, to come together. And that all of these three representations of yoga need to end up forming an arrow and moving in the same direction. And we all need to be supporting each other. I also think just on a personal level, I've had a lot of experience with the sort of vacillation of all these different components, being invited to share yoga on a wide scale with Weight Watchers and with Yoga for Dummies and projects that I never would have initiated on my own but was invited to do. I had a resistance at first to doing something on such a commercial scale. And basically this company said to me, we're doing it with or without you. So you can come and do this with us, and then you can make sure that you infuse it with some of the sacred teachings, that you make sure that the asana is being taught in a safe, healthy manner, or we'll go someplace else. So I chose to dive into those projects and do my best to infuse them with whatever I had learned. And so these people out there are getting a little bit of something of all of it.
No, good for you. I totally resonate with that, because if it's not going to be you, it could be somebody who just wants to do that capitalism on that area. And it is something very sacred. And where war is so organized, I know that we need to also, to some extent, have spirituality, meditation, and yoga organized in a way that any person who's starting out new steps into it and just feels like there's a way that they can do it and it just might resonate with their souls. I think it's really important for us to have some stats and data and things that will help, you know, just a skeptic to feel like, I think I can do this. I think I've got enough understanding of it, you know?
Also, we need to remember that it's not for everybody, and people can try it, and we can't force anybody into doing anything. It's not like something. First of all, by doing yoga, you'll change your whole lifestyle. You really decrease your age, degeneration. It's just your face, your skin, every part of your body, you see results very quickly. The weight tightens up. I mean, it's just remarkable. Yoga has been around for 50,000 years, and we didn't invent it. It came from many great teachers that came to America to teach it. And at our festivals, we try to utilize all modalities, because there are so many modalities of yoga classes and yoga teachers. It's difficult for somebody to just enter into it, and then sometimes they go in, it's too difficult for them, they think all yoga is like that, you know. But I would suggest people going in and taking a beginner's class and then see how it feels to them. If they don't resonate with that, go to another yoga studio and do a beginner's class there. Maybe you will definitely find a path that feels right for you.
Sridhar Silberfein and Sarah Ivano, thank you so much for joining us on the America Meditating Radio Show. Really wish again I met Shakti Vest, but now I feel like I'm getting the ripples of it just talking to both of you. Before I let you go, could you leave our listeners with what your favorite life quote is and any information that you'd like to share with our listeners, websites, dates for upcoming events or whatever? Please do that now, because I know that we're going to be making sure that it gets out there to as many as possible.
Okay, so Sarah, you want to have a quote or something?
I don't have a sort of a specific quote from somebody else, but what I would love to leave everyone with is that it's time to start the adventure. Time to jump in. Come and join us at one of these festivals. Come jump into a class that's local to you. Jump in and swim around. Just never know what's coming to you, and I'm excited for that.
Coming to one of our festivals is not like anything else you'll ever do. It's changing your whole lifestyle completely. But at the end, the Monday comes around and you go back to your world. Hopefully you bring a little bit more love and compassion to everybody around you, your children, your husband, your wife, your parents, and you do more service and more dedication of your life. So I like to leave everybody with the dates of June 25th in Madison, Wisconsin, September 10th in Joshua Tree, California. There's still tickets to buy before they go up every month. And it's just a wonderful environment. There's no alcohol. It's all vegetarian food. It's just, there's something to do for everybody. There's like
kids programs.
There's 8 or 9 classes every 2 hours on everything. In September, we go all night for 4 days on singing. It's just really wonderful. So what we like to tell people is come in empty, leave full. Come in full, leave empty.
I love that. And the website, Sridhar?
www.bhaktifest.com. And on that website, you'll also see my interviews with famous Ram Dass, the top Western philosopher in America. And for the last 7 years, I've been doing sit-down, two-hour interviews on video with him on contemporary spiritual subjects. It's really quite wonderful to hear him speak.
Thank you so much, Sridhar. All the very best and enjoy Bhaktifest.
Look forward to seeing you in September, sister.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye, Sarah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adibo.
So come in empty and leave full. Did you hear that? So at Shakti Fest, we actually will have a chance to just enjoy. But also don't forget, Bhakti Fest will also be in Madison, Wisconsin, June 25th to June 28th. So for those of you who are really just wondering about, you know, this all this yoga talk and meditation talk, and you happen to have maybe bumped into America Meditating whilst you were surfing on AHA Radio in your brand new car, or maybe just surfing on TuneIn or Stitcher, or maybe just on a podcast on iTunes, and you're listening to this conversation today, I want to invite you to try it. It is beneficial if you're looking to have better relationship, a clearer mind, a stronger heart, anything that you do for the soul, something pure and positive for the soul, is beneficial. We hope you enjoy today's conversation with Sridhar Silberfein and Sarah Ivano. And please go to bhaktifest.com for further information. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. We'll end today's show with Sapkuch by the Brahma Kumaris. A beautiful song that's translated in English. It says, "Think of me more," where it's a loving expression of your thoughts connecting to the divine. Take care, everyone. All the best.